This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free, and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot, so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful-looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. At the best of times, using an interactive screen can be a slightly dodgy experience because there's dirt, grime, bacterial buildup, and stuff you really don't even want to think about. But in this new age we're living in, hopefully temporary, but who knows, touching an interactive surface that's already been used by dozens or scores of others that day could put you in a hospital bed or a coffin. One of the countermeasures to the risk of transmission of viruses like COVID-19 is regular cleaning of that screen, not to mention hand washing or sanitizing after a session. Given everything that's been going on, and having walked to the self-serve checkout at my local grocery and thought, it's useful to get some insight from a business that's all about clean screens. Stefan Thorarinson runs North American Ops and Sales for Pristine Screen, a UK-based company that's specifically in the business of cleaning and protecting digital signage and digital out-of-home screens. We chatted about how a global pandemic has raised awareness and attention for keeping screens clean, and what operators should be doing and not doing. All right, Steph, thanks for joining me. We've known each other for a bunch of years. Tom Milner is also on this podcast, but his voice sounds like he's about 4 inches tall, so he's not going to be speaking. Don't know what's up there. So I wanted to talk to you guys because you have a world of experience dealing with touchscreens and digital out-of-home screens in general and keeping them clean. And in the time of COVID-19, the coronavirus, this is a really important issue. I was just out at a grocery store and looking at the self-serve touchscreens and thinking, okay, how am I going to do this? So what all is involved? How dangerous are these screens? How do you keep them clean? All that sort of stuff.
Wow. That's a whole lot to deal with. Well, where do I start? Well, we've been, Pristine Screen has been doing this for many years.
And what is this that you guys do?
So we provide managed service. We'll go out globally and clean screens in the new world, be it QSR, arenas, anywhere there's a touchscreen or anywhere there's a screen hanging. Mm-hmm. So we have different levels of service. At the same time, we also sell to OEMs and to end users if need be. We have quite a few different products for indoor and outdoor LEDs and for indoor screens.
You got into this space with a cleaning product, correct?
Correct. Yeah, so the cleaning product itself, there's three different product lineups. We have a general cleaner that we provide for the QSR side because it's really good at removing airborne grease on touchscreens or POS systems. So that's our Pristine Screen and daily use cleaner. Then we have our nano liquid protection coating that is 9H, scratch resistant, antibacterial, increases sensitivity, keeps the screen shinier, cleaner for longer periods of duration. And again, all this is dependent on the amount of friction, so the amount of traffic using the touchscreen. Mm-hmm. Increases sensitivity, all those great attributes. And that's in my mind what we're really talking about today in today's world. It's our number one seller going into, as you said, the supermarket, just looking at the self-order checkout. Yeah, they're half the time there's messages on there from advertisers, and sometimes it's just checking yourself out. But most people don't even want to fist bump that or elbow it because they're so gross. So we have a protective coating that can go on there to do all those, provide all those attributes that I mentioned beforehand. But then you still have to, as the manager of the store or whatever, there still has to be upkeep, just like everything else in the world. You still have to, either on a nightly basis or a weekly basis, daily basis, whatever, you still have to go back and clean with a antimicrobial microfiber towel is what we recommend. And we even get down to the amount of threads per square inch. We recommend a 400 thread per square inch using a microfiber towel because that will pick up a lot of the debris, dirt, whatever you want to call it, that's on the screen. Mm-hmm.
It's, with coronavirus, what I've read and heard in various times, there's been, you know, 24/7 coverage of this stuff, is that there isn't real clarity about how long the virus can live on a surface. It could be 10 minutes. It could be several hours. When you're getting into interactive touchscreens for digital signage, like a wayfinding directory, whether it's self-service ordering, business directory for a building, all those sorts of things, what would be the regimen to keep that safe? Or is it really even possible because you can wipe it and then somebody who's contagious uses it and then there's no orderly schedule to wipe it for another 6 hours. So there's 6 hours of people potentially touching this thing. How do you get around that, or can you?
Well, with viruses, you can't get around it.
Okay.
And that's why you see on the news lately of they're basically fumigating the GO trains and TTC buses all in suits, and then they're going back and wiping everything down. They're letting the product or the chemicals adhere to the hard surfaces, and then they're going back after it's dried and basically polishing it. And then that's leaving a coating on there. But then still, that's not going to prevent viruses. It's basically a cleaning service to show that the city or whoever is trying to do their part to keep them, things clean. Like you said, a guy turns around and, or somebody turns around and touches it that might have a virus, then that potentially can stay on, as what they're saying on the news, is that potentially can stay on that surface for up to 3 hours. Hmm.
So in certain respects, it's good news in that the things that we touch every day are going to be a hell of a lot cleaner than they probably normally are. But the exercise that they're taking can't have, or may not have, all that much impact on preventing you from, you know, picking up the virus.
Yes and no. I think with the pressing screen product lineup and the coatings that we put on screens, it's preventative maintenance, right? Like the high traffic areas, those customers are actually doing something to prevent the spread of bacteria, or to, what's the word I'm looking for, to maintain and prolong their investment. You know what I'm saying? So that we're putting on the protective coatings, antibacterial being the number one, and that's protecting their investment for longer life, longevity, and screen appearance, message appearance, because nobody really wants to touch a screen that is interactive with a dirty message. Mm-hmm. So it all comes back to the advertising side too. If I'm going to spend top dollar on advertising in a store, I want my message to come across crisp and clean. Mm-hmm. We're just adding the fact that, hey, in today's, and we've been doing it for years, but in today's society, the antibacterial part of it is one of the key attributes to our protective coatings. Mm-hmm.
And you can't really get around with touchscreens by, you know, trying to manage things with your knuckles or your elbow or your the tip of your nose or God knows what. It just doesn't work like that. Like, you have to use your fingertips, right?
Right. Unless everyone's carrying one of those $300 Mac pens.
I don't even know what those are, but I don't have one.
Neither do I.
So one of the issues here is if you have sensitive display technology like a touch screen with a PCAP overlay or other kind of capacitive overlay, whatever it may be, you can't just use everyday cleaning solvents to wipe these things off and try to protect them, because that's going to damage the screen, right?
Correct. Like, there's most cleaning chemicals out there, be it janitorial or in the big box stores, they have to list their chemical properties on the back. If it's a high concentration of ammonia or alcohol, it has to be stated. And a lot of these industrial janitorial supplies and cleaning supplies, they have high concentrations. And all that's going to do is just damage, like we talked about before, it's going to damage, might haze the screen, where all of our products A have been tested and are currently being tested by the largest OEMs in the DEW industry. Mm-hmm.
And if it hazes the screen, then are you replacing the whole screen or just an overlay?
Well, our products don't haze.
Right. But if what I'm saying is if somebody who doesn't normally clean ATM screens or self-service screens, whatever it may be, all that often because they don't really think about this stuff and they just ask the cleaning people to, okay, can you also wipe these down every night? They're not going to know any better. They're going to do it. And then fairly quickly, they're going to realize, oh, this is not good.
I used the wrong stuff.
But I'm curious, is the whole investment gone or is it just a component that has to be replaced?
I would say it would just be a component, but every situation is different. So it might be the whole system. It might just be the, like you said, the overlay.
Yeah. And even if it's just a component or a new screen, it's probably going to cost a hell of a lot of money. It's not a $39 fix.
No. And it really, for us, it all comes down to educating. Mm-hmm. And the general public out there already knows that their cell phones are 100 times dirtier than the average public toilet seat. And we pulled those up to our ears and close to our mouths every day. Mm-hmm. In the last 5 to 10 years, the touchscreen industry and software kiosk industry has exploded, and we're seeing them more and more and more in our daily lives. And that's how we're buying things and charging things and everything else. And it's a need. And we're finding more and more from the OEMs and the manufacturers, it's now becoming a serious want. Mm.
Yeah, I wonder, every so often somebody does these tests where they go out and they swab something or other. And, you know, there's a media report that says there's human fecal matter all over this screen or God knows what on some other screen and so on. And there's a big fuss. Everybody runs around screaming and then it goes away and everything goes back to normal. I wonder what happens with this, because this is very different. The coronavirus outbreak, what does it, and I realize this is a very large question. I don't know if you can answer this, but you know, what does this mean to the touchscreen industry and to interactive display in general? I know it's a big question.
It is.
Does it just become routine maintenance that anybody who has things has to start thinking about, that we can't protect against every contingency, but you need to think about this being a constant requirement that, every 4 hours or whatever, this thing needs to be wiped down, or every hour.
Well, yeah, whatever. And it all comes back to the amount of traffic. So like you were saying before, meeting room touchpads, aren't going to have high traffic compared to a self-order checkout at one of the big QSRs. So yeah, management has to look at their cleaning schedule compared to the foot traffic. But what we recommend is a continual managed service, continual maintenance, because it all comes down to the cleanliness of the screen to sell that burger or to check out that case of Coke, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So it the sensitivity comes into issue, everything. And if that isn't presented well and properly, then people get turned off and then there's loss of sales. Mm-hmm.
And I suppose the argument could be made that when you're doing your own self-guided ordering, doing transactions without another person being involved, you're also cutting out the cash handling and the handling of things like credit cards and so on. So while you may be introducing a risk, you're also negating a risk because you don't have somebody touching your money or...
Yeah, you're controlling that environment. Mm-hmm. You're like with self-ordered checkout, you're controlling that environment. Yeah, you could take your sleeve and put it over your finger if you mm-hmm. want. I don't know how much more sensitive that's going to be, but... with our protective coatings, it minimizes the risk. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75 plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Now, what if I'm somebody walking around with those wipes, the Lysol wipes or whatever, and you get those little packs that are like the size of miniature Kleenex packs that you keep in, well... in I don't backpack or something like that. I was going to say purse, but I don't carry a purse. If somebody has these alcohol wipes and decides, all right, I want to use this touchscreen, but I'm going to wipe this thing down first, is that commercial product going to damage the screen as well?
I can't say for sure.
Depends on the composition.
When I walk into my local Longo's, I grab the Purell towel that's sitting by the front door and I pull that out and I wipe down the hand railing of the cart.
Yeah.
I don't know if that hand towelette has 60% alcohol in it or if it's 5%. Mm-hmm. It smells nice and it foams up on the hand railing of the cart. Great. But without knowing what the quantity of alcohol or ammonia that's in it, I can't say for sure if it's going to damage it or not.
Right. You guys go to a lot of trade shows. You look at a lot of technology and you're paying attention to these things. One of the assertions out there is this should accelerate the adoption and use of things like gesture-based interactive screens. And I just don't see it. It's too complicated. You're asking people to do things that may in certain ways seem natural, but they're not. And they can just be very frustrating if you're waving your hand and nothing's happening.
I think that's years down the road.
Yeah.
Because we're getting used to more and more in today's day and age, the touchscreen and bringing in the fully gesture checkout. Mm-hmm. I think even if you get other people involved or sitting in the shadows, I don't think that's personable checkout. And it's kind of intrusive from other people looking into it or onto it. So I don't know. I hope it doesn't go that way because then there's going to be no more touchscreen.
Yeah, but there's still lots of grimy digital out-of-home screens.
True, true.
What happens if we move away from coronavirus and the what seems to be a harsh reality of there's not a hell of a lot you can do with touchscreens other than just make sure you have Purell with you and use the screen and, you know, clean your hands after. So more generally, what happens with screens out in the marketplace? There is are they being vandalized? Are people just like tossing drinks at them and everything?
Well, it's so we deal with a wide variety of markets. Like you saw what happened down at Link NYC with bricks and graffiti. I deal with casinos in Canada. With tabletop gaming, and the cocktails that are sitting on that. So your sticky, soda pop residue or whatever, all that's easily wiped off with the protective coating. But it more comes down to the interaction and the preventive maintenance with the antibacterial.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you have contractors who do this work for you, do they have to approach it differently now? Like, it's one thing to think in terms of a wayfinding directory in a mall that is looking a little grimy because some kids, you know, had an ice cream cone and then slammed this thing. But if you're the cleaner and we're in an age of the coronavirus, do you have to approach it differently in terms of how you clean it? Didn't think of that, did you?
No, I didn't think of it. But I would still use the same cleaning product that we have.
Yeah.
Because A, that's going to remove whatever dirt and grime and bacteria and all that. I don't know what agents are out there to remove viruses.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, what they're using in Toronto is all hospital or healthcare approved cleaning products.
Right.
And are those cleaning products safe for digital signage, for touchscreens? Are they going to kill a bezel, or are they going to make the screen fog or haze? I can't answer that 100%.
Yeah.
But our trained technicians globally will go around and use currently what we have is the cleaner to bring the screen back to looking like new, and then put on the nano protective coating. And then if the customer wants the third layer, which is our new antipathogen coating, that'll be applied on top, which just extends the life of antibacterial.
But So antipathogen, it won't reject the virus and keep it from adhering or anything else. It's just going to protect the screen a little bit longer in terms of the antibacterial side of it?
Correct, the duration.
And I guess inhibit its growth?
Yep.
Okay. So would you get service techs to actually use masks and gloves to clean a display?
In today's day and age, yeah. When I'm out in the field, I always use rubber gloves because we don't know what's on that screen before we clean it. Masks, yeah, they're becoming a daily use now. So, yeah, I would probably suggest to our trained technicians when they do go out in today's day and age to, yeah, mask up and glove up.
Yeah, I would imagine previously that would have – the optics of that would have looked all wrong and intimidating to the general public, but it's probably the inverse effect now that they're probably comforted by that.
Say again, sorry.
If I was walking around a mall and I saw somebody cleaning a screen masked up with gloves on and all that prior to the coronavirus, I'd be going, what the hell is going on here? But now I would see it and go, okay, good. They're cleaning it properly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I guess it's going to become the new norm,
mm-hmm.
Right? We've seen it. Well, we had the SARS back in Toronto years ago, and now this has come around, and there'll be something 2 years from now. And I think it's just becoming the norm.
Mm-hmm. Are there things that companies that are doing interactive work with screens should be thinking about that would reduce the risk, reduce what's going on by the way they do user experience design or what they communicate on the screen?
I don't know if that's possible. I think with touch screens and the advertisers and the whole process and the software and everything put together, you're trying to, as everyone says, you're trying to tell a story and you're trying to sell something. I think the interaction of touch, you want to be part of that sale and you want to interact with that kiosk. Mm-hmm. So it has to be a physical touch.
Yeah. Do you have any sense of where there seems to be the most sort of bacterial and dirty buildup on a touch screen? Do people always put their hands off to one side or, you know, obviously the keypad, because they all need to put in their PIN code on certainly an APM or things like that. But are there areas that are more prone to being dirty that you have to pay more attention to in terms of cleaning?
Well, on everything, like even on your cell phone, depends if it's one brand or another. Like I punch in my PIN number. Mm-hmm. And if you have a Samsung, you do that swiping number part. Excuse me. So every time you look at your phone when it's black, you always see that swipe. Mm-hmm. Same thing with a kiosk. Okay. English, that English button, or in Quebec, that French button gets pushed more. So when the screen's off or in black mode or whatever, you are going to see fingerprints specifically in a certain area. Mm-hmm. But that's easily, wiped off with our protective coatings.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about your company, between you and Tom. Like, how do you scale this thing if all of a sudden the realization is there that, hey guys, we all need to do this. We now need to make this a part of routine maintenance and not routine every month. It's like every day or whatever. How do you scale that kind of business up?
Well, we have some great manufacturers backing us. That have been in the cleaning business for many, many years. So we are relying on them for the product and distribution, getting it into OEMs and into boxes before they go out to the installers, doing the accounts with either installers or QSR themselves.
Mm-hmm. How many installers or techs do you have?
Well, we work off of Service Support's global network, mm-hmm. of trained techs and our global partners. So we have techs all over North America and all over Europe.
These are not staff, though. These are contractors.
No, these are contract.
So you got like 5,000, 10,000?
Numbers off the top of my head, I believe, Tom will correct me, but I'm going to go off, what I remember. I believe it's, 44,000 round number in North America. And I think, 1400 in, Europe.
And okay. Well, I'm looking at the chat window from 4-inch Tom, who's that's how big his voice sounds when we're trying to record him. He says 8,500.
There we go.
So how do you tell these 8,500 guys, guess what you now have to do with this rapid spread of this contagion? We need you to go out and mask up and everything and go clean these kinds of screens.
Well, it's virtually with even our recording today. It's online training is pretty easy. Mm-hmm. And the product itself is, or all three products, four products are very easy to apply. Mm-hmm. So it's, if you can clean a window or a mirror, wax a car. It's virtually that easy. And the thing is, it doesn't matter if it's a 27-inch screen or a 85-inch screen. Our product can be applied to any size screen.
And you just have to reinforce them that whatever you do, don't lick the screen.
Yeah. And like, you're not going to see with some of the other manufacturers out there, they have the plastic overlays that are stated as antimicrobial, but in today's environment, they chip, they tend to come unglued from the sides. Ours fits evenly throughout the whole screen, all corners, all edges. Virtually, you spray it on the microfiber towel, you clean the screen, wait a couple of seconds, take another dry microfiber towel, polish it up so it's 100% clean. Then we'll take the nano coating and spray it on the towel, clean the screen in a circular motion, let it haze up, and then come back with another clean, dry microfiber towel and polish it up. Manufacturers' recommendations are 24-hour cure time, but you can actually use that screen within 5 minutes. Hmm.
But is there a false sense of security if somebody says this is an antimicrobial screen, it's protected that way, that somebody should not merrily walk up to this thing saying, okay, there's no risk in me using this thing. I don't even need to wipe or clean my hands after.
Not in today's day and age.
Right. Yeah. Everyone. Didn't think so, but I just want people to understand that even if something is protected, it's not protected because the coronavirus is going to live on it anyways.
Correct.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. So, it's a weird situation for you guys in that, it's awful what's going on and everything else, but, this could, you know, really reinforce the validity of your business. Not that it's invalid, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, we've been doing this for several years and, it's exploding now. And we, Pristine Screen, Tom and I just want to do our part to help keeping screens clean and to kind of protecting the general public. Mm-hmm.
All right, Steph, thank you.
Hey, not a problem, Dave. Thank you very much.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.